I'd like to call the Weather Veterans Affairs Committee Division. And just to let everybody know, this will be our last committee meeting of the session. Unless it's a call by the chair, I'm just going to call this as our last meeting. And I'd like to thank everybody for being part of this division. And Ellen Roberts, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And do we have somebody that would like to move the April 4th, 2016 minutes?
I would move the minutes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
For April 4th.
The April 4th, 2016 minutes have been moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And today we just have one piece of legislation. And being it's mine, I'm going to just, I don't think we have any people that are going to speak to it unless someone from the public wants to come forward, but it's House File 3663. And I'd like to move House File 3663 and refer to the Committee on Public Safety. And House File 3663, basically, this was brought to me by some constituents. The bill would allow military personnel who are unable to return to Minnesota to renew their handgun permits as a result of their service to receive an extension from the local sheriff. The application for the extension must be made more than 90 days before the permit expires. So the military member would have to apply for the permit renewal as soon as possible when they return to the state, and for a period of over 90 days. So any questions on that? Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just not sure how the logistics are going to work on this. If they come back after the 90 days, what's happened to, so they reapply, but they don't have to go through the process of reapplication and testing and that sort of thing? Their records would just be pulled?
Representative, it would just be an extension that they, when they return, then they need to apply within that 90-day period, the way I understand it.
Okay.
Any other questions? Anyone from the public? Okay, with that, I'd like to redo my motion to refer House File 3663 to the public safety. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. And we have, I'd like to bring down MACV, Nathaniel Saltz. You're going to give us an update on MACV. It's always a pleasure to have MACV come into the committee and give us a little update. And everybody should be getting a handout here, too. Mr. Saltz, welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and fellow committee members. My name is Nathaniel Saltz, and I am the Interim Executive Director for Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. With me is Rebecca Giraggi, our Director of Finance and Administration. First, thank you for inviting us to give an update on the programs and services that MACV continues to provide for Minnesota veterans and their families. We have been serving Minnesota veterans who are homeless or in crisis and at risk of homelessness for over 25 years and look forward to continuing to provide outstanding services to the state. As some of you are aware, and for those of you who may not be, our board of directors recently made a change in our leadership. After 15 years of serving the mission of MACV, Kathleen Vitalis has moved on and is no longer with the organization. The board has asked me to serve as the interim executive director while a thorough search is being conducted to find a new leader to carry us forward and to continue the work to reach out to every veteran in Minnesota that needs MACV support to once again stand tall. I have full confidence as we have received many promising applications for the position. In the interim, I look forward to working with all of you to focus on our mission. To give you a little background on me, I have been serving veterans with MACV for 13 years, starting with providing direct client services as a case manager and more recently statewide program director since 2011. We have an outstanding staff, partnerships, and experience within MACV to carry on the organization's dedication to veterans. Our board chair, Donald Allen, has asked me to read a short statement from the board. He apologizes as he was not able to be here today in person. From Donald Allen, Chairman Drip Detmer and the Veterans Affairs Subcommittee, as the chairman of the board for Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans since 2006, I've been actively involved in steering the organization through the many changes and expansions MACV has gone through in the past decade. This past March, after a several-month process, the board of directors decided to make a change in leadership at the executive director level. Since having made this change, the organization has not missed a beat. We are strong and will continue to on the right path to serve Minnesota veterans. As always, we are striving to continue to solidify and enhance our mission as opportunities become available to ensure that we are meeting the needs of the community. The Board of Directors is actively looking for a new executive director utilizing a Minnesota firm. In the meantime, we have full confidence in Nathaniel Saltz, our interim executive director, who has been with MACV since 2003 and has served in a leadership position since 2011, as well as Rebecca Giragi, our Director of Finance and Administration, who has been in a leadership position with MACV since 2012, as well as our long-term financial consulting partners, Clifton Larson Allen. MACV has staff with the skills and experience in place to pursue our mission successfully. We are in the process of undergoing a full organization evaluation of the company structure to ensure that we continue to operate at maximum efficiency. In addition, the Board of Directors is in the process of expanding and diversifying membership to bring new perspectives and expertise across the nonprofit arena. Our board continues to be accessible and are happy to speak to partners and stakeholders. Thank you for your continued support of MACV. Donald R. Allen, Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Army, retired, Chairman of the Board of Directors, Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. In front of you, each of you has a blue MACV folder providing documents about each of the programs MACV provides. If you will allow me a few moments, I'll provide a brief summary. MACV provides services to homeless and in-crisis veterans throughout all of Minnesota in the areas of housing, employment, and legal services. Our outreach efforts include 10 stand-downs throughout the state. We do not duplicate services. Rather, we partner with agencies, government and nonprofit, to make sure that all areas of need for our veterans to move out of crisis are being met, and we fill the gaps in these areas. We partner closely with each county veteran service officer, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and the VA to ensure that all eligible supports and programs are being accessed. We maximize funding from federal sources, bringing grants to the state through the Department of Labor. We have 6 homeless veteran reintegration program grants. Department of HUD, we have 5 continuum of care grants, and the VA, which provides 2 supportive services for veteran families and a grant and per diem grant, as well as corporate and foundation funds to carry on our mission. The funding that we receive through the state of Minnesota is critical in serving veterans with our full range of services, as well as necessary leverage in receiving federal grants. As an organization, we are certified by the Minnesota Charities Review Council and are annually audited, as well as audits throughout the year by specific funders. Our regional offices are in Minneapolis, Duluth, and Mankato, and from there we carry services to all 87 Minnesota counties. Keys to success in all of our programs is the intensive case management each veteran receives along with the direct assistance. We assess each veteran served for housing status, health and mental health, chemical health status, employment and income, appropriate housing, living skills, optical and dental needs, and legal issues to develop the strongest possible stability plan. We own and operate 77 beds of transitional and permanent supportive housing, including housing in Duluth, Mankato, Minneapolis, a woman's house in St. Paul, St. Cloud, Richfield, and Maplewood. We provide rental assistance, security deposits, mortgages, utility assistance, and transportation assistance, and other needs through a variety of funding sources, including through the state, to rapidly rehouse homeless veterans and prevent episodes of homelessness for Minnesota veterans and their families. Over 90% of veterans housed were still stably housed 6 months after completing MACB programs. Through our statewide employment grants, we work to stabilize veterans' income through employment. Through our Department of Labor HVRP grant alone, in 2015, we placed 185 homeless veterans into employment at an average hourly wage of $13.03, representing annual gross wages of $5,013,944. 85% of veterans who got jobs through this program kept their positions for at least 6 months. Our 10-10 stand-down events in 2015 served over 2,500 veterans, giving on-site same-day access to housing, employment, health care, veterans benefits, community benefits, and legal service providers, including a stand-down court. In 2015, we hosted 36 legal clinics in 19 communities across Minnesota, serving over 1,700 veterans, as well as providing full representation services to veterans whose civil legal issues presented a direct barrier to housing or employment stability. In 2015, MACB provided direct services to over 1,950 veterans, 48% of whom were homeless at their intake with us. This is an increase over the approximately 1,800 veterans served in 2014. Going forward into the year, we are excited to be partnering with Sand Company on the new Linden Grove housing development in St. Cloud, and will be the service provider for veteran residents, and are looking to expand our housing in the Twin Cities by adding homes for veterans with dependent children. We partner closely with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on the statewide Homeless Veteran Registry, a by-name list of veterans experiencing homelessness in Minnesota, to find resolutions for each veterans on this list housing crisis. To summarize, we fill the gaps. Some programs have very strict income guidelines that even though a veteran is unemployed based on their income from the past 3 months would disqualify them. Others have restrictions based on disability or have a long lag time between program application and assistance received. Our programs are rapid, holistic, and veteran-centric to make sure that veterans are rapidly able to access the resources and services that they need. We are statewide, non-duplicated services that leverage sources of funding, partner, and collaborate closely, and bridge the gap for veterans in crisis. Thank you for the opportunity to present to you today.
Okay, I do have a question. That number with the homeless veterans, and you mentioned that you go in partnership with the MDVA and by name list. How does that work?
That works through outreach with MACV, MDVA, County Veteran Service Officers, and nonprofits throughout the state. There's a registry hosted by MDVA where veterans who are experiencing homelessness, their name is added to this registry as well as some of their basic information. And then there are meetings every 2 weeks between community providers where we discuss every veteran on that list and determine what is the best housing plan based on the veteran's income, specific barriers, and eligibility, and try to come up with a specific plan for each individual veteran.
Okay. And just to mention that the stand-down events, I've attended a couple of those events. It's pretty impressive what goes on at these stand-down events, and I encourage any members of the committee to try to attend a stand-down event that's close to proximity to where you live, because it is important. And maybe MACV could let us know when those events are, and maybe send out something to the committee that we could get out to the committee members, and then hopefully can stop in there. And it's in the packet, okay? And thank you, Representative Ward. But get out to and see one of these standout events. I think you'll be impressed. How many have been, just curiously, how many have actually been to a standout event? Okay. So it's important that we do that. And Representative Pugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And actually, my first question was going to be with regard to the stand-down event, just asking for clarification about what that is. I have not participated, and I didn't see anything in my packet. I see now. But if you could just kind of put in a nutshell what a stand-down event is, and then I'll read this afterwards, too.
Yes, thank you for the question, Representative. It's a one-stop shop for veteran services. So we bring in nonprofits, healthcare, legal services, veterans benefits, anything that could be useful for a veteran in crisis to get the resources that they need together in one place for one or two days, depending on the location, as well as a veteran can get a haircut on site, receive, if they're homeless, military surplus gear such as boots or sleeping bags, clothing, hygiene kits, in a welcoming veteran-focused environment to really bring together veterans and service providers in a single spot on a single day.
Okay. Representative Pugh?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for that. And I will look forward to receiving those dates because I would like to participate and experience that. It sounds like a terrific event. My last question is with regard to the services that MACV provides or partners with regard to mental health and substance use. You know, we have a huge issue in our state. I'm certain that our veterans are struggling to the same degree, if not more so, than our general public. And I'm wondering if you could clarify for me what services your organization directly provides or with whom you partner to provide the services in those areas for veterans.
Mr. Saltz?
Thank you for the question again. We do not directly provide mental health services or chemical dependency counseling. We partner with the community on that. Our closest partner is the VA hospital. We are co-located for one of our programs on the VA grounds, and we partner closely with all the CBOX and clinics throughout the state. Locally, in more rural areas where the VA may not be as accessible, we partner with local mental health providers to make sure that we have a good referral to get veterans to if they're in a crisis and connect them up with the VA for their ongoing services and care. So in partnership with our county veteran service officers, with our VA facilities throughout the state, and with local nonprofits or clinics that provide these services, we have these resources and these connections to make sure that veterans are connecting up with these critical resources.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Representative Pugh?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Saltz, just kind of going back to Representative Pugh's inquiry about stand-on events, those are not necessarily designed for just those who are returning from service because they have coming off of active duty because they have other trainings and other things that are taken care of. This is for anyone, my understanding, who is a veteran, whether they were a World War II veteran right down to one of our most recent operations, who are returning or have need or have question. So it's an open invitation to all veterans to stop by. Am I correct on that?
Representative, yes. All veterans are welcome at our stand-down events. We do a lot of focus and services around the needs of homeless veterans, but we also know that veterans present with a crisis in many areas, and we try to have as wide a range of services available on-site for any veteran that comes in the door. All veterans are welcome.
Representative Driscoll?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the reason I raised that issue is, for reasons I don't think this committee needs to get into today, the Vietnam veteran had a very difficult time readjusting coming back from service, and many of those veterans are now starting to come to an understanding that they have these benefits and are in a position mentally, physically, and emotionally to begin to ask for services that for many years they have been unable to ask, and this is just a great gateway to be able to help those individuals in particular. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Any last comments? Oh, yes. Representative Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Saltz, can you talk about financing of MACV a little bit, your budget, sources of income, and your staffing as well?
Mr. Saltz.
Thank you, Representative. So I mentioned a number of the grants that we receive. So we have quite a few federal grants that we receive. Generally, those are for very specific targeted areas, such as our employment grant or grant for case management and housing. We also receive funding through the Minnesota legislature, which really fills a lot of gaps in what we don't get from the federal government, as well as foundations. We have, I don't remember the number of foundations that we have right now.
It's over 25 easily.
And corporate sponsorships and partnerships, as well as individual donations. So we've tried to diversify, and I think been very successful in diversifying where our funding is coming from so that we can fill these gaps and meet the needs.
Representative Newton?
Sure. Yes, just follow up. Just to be a little more specific, can you tell me, for example, what your annual budget is and the number of staff that you have?
We have 30 full-time staff representative, and it's a $4.8 million
operating budget. And that might have fluctuated a little bit with the end of the year, but that's roughly where we're at.
Thank you.
And Mrs. Gurji, could you just introduce yourself for the record?
Yeah, sorry. My name is Rebecca Giraggi. I am the Director of Finance and Administration. I have been with the organization for 4 years now. I started out as the Operations Administrator, reporting directly to the CEO and COO and working directly alongside Nathaniel Saltz, and have worked my way to where I am now.
Okay, thank you. Representative Newton, anything else? Okay, Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thinking as you're speaking about outreach, and you talked about CBOX, and I was thinking there's been a number of efforts around Indian Country. I represent the Leech Lake Indian Reservation, part of my district, and kind of fits and starts of having their own veteran service officer, if you will, and I know that's kind of come and gone in a couple cases, and I'm curious, I would just offer if you have reached out, continue to do that. If you haven't, that might be a good thing to do, to reach out to tribal governments, and if I can be helpful at all on that, and that maybe through Indian Affairs Council. That's an official government, the government council, as you likely know, between the state and the tribes. A whole lot of veterans out there in Indian Country. I know you know that.
Representative, I apologize. I have been remiss. I did not mention our partnership with the Tribal Veteran Service Officers, which is very critical, especially in northern Minnesota. We work very closely with the TVSOs as well as the CVSOs. We have been attending many of the military powwows as we can up on the reservations, and we have a partnership with the Red Lake homeless shelter to provide tribal outreach on Red Lake, but we are always looking to expand and improve our relationships and our partnerships within all communities in Minnesota. So thank you for your offer.
Reverend Purcell.
Very good, and just up Red Lake yesterday, as a matter of fact, and perhaps if you've been up there, you've seen their Veterans Memorial that was dedicated this past summer. And offer anybody who wants to go up there, look at that. They've got all the Red Lake veterans engraved in stone. And it's pretty impressive. Looks like something you'd see in D.C. So thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for the MACV? And I know next session you'll be coming in again to give us an update and what's been happening. And I know that Kathleen Vitalis has been a big part of MACV here in Minnesota, and hopefully your organization will do something for her, that thanking her for her service, and if this committee can be any help in that matter, just let me know too. I know when I first came here, one of the first persons that came into my office was Kathleen Vitalis, was to make sure that I understood what was going on with MACV and the programs that they have for our veterans. And also I'd like to thank some people here that have been part of this committee. I know Jeff Diebel, our research person here, I know you've been a big part of going through different pieces of legislation. Thank you. And I know Helen Roberts stepped out. She's been a big part of this committee too, and Brian Cook, and Jeff, and Adam Seidel, and Sam Moyer, my LA. But with that, I would like to just thank everybody for being part of this committee, and this would be, pardon?
Forgot one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Folks here. Mr. Gelbman.
Gelbman, I'm sorry. Thank you for your being part of this committee too. Okay. Who? Representative Lesh.
Hey,
yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just, if you were going to adjourn, I just wanted to bring this up real quick while I had everyone here. My battalion, 2 of the 135, the orders went public over the weekend that we were deploying to Egypt for the MFO mission. That's multinational force and observation, whatever. We're going to be looking at stuff for 9 months. And it's going to be, it's about around, the press release stated it was going to be around 400 folks, and obviously the battalion has more than that, but one major problem that's sticking out, and the 204th Medical Company just went through this last year, is that the benefits have expired in federal law. So these folks who are deploying will be taxed. Okay, so none of the tax benefits that any of the deploying soldiers got. There is no post 9/11 GI Bill benefits.
Right.
There's a long list of they don't get a combat patch either, which, you know, for infantry guys is kind of an issue, but that's the same for Kosovo Mission and others. But this is a major issue, and I'm hearing from a lot of my soldiers right now. It is not, of course, a state issue. There's nothing that the legislature per se can do about this. But to the extent that you have communications with your members of Congress, please weigh in. You know what's happening in Congress these days, which is nothing, okay? But to the extent you can weigh in and say, please try to make this a priority, because it's completely unfair that these folks would have to be away from their family for what will essentially be a year and not get any of the benefits that their peers have gotten over the course of all these deployments that we've run our National Guard members through post 9/11, I think is a major issue. So I've been working on this, but I wanted you all to know that, especially for those of you that will have many of these soldiers in your district, primarily Southern Minnesota, 2 of the 135, but we come from everywhere across the state. I want to let you know that, and that we're going to be trying to work on some stuff and to get them these benefits.
Yes, Representative Lesh, you know, I've gotten calls and emails from those that have gotten back from the last deployment, and the very same thing issue. And I took it to the TAG, and they just kind of say, "Yeah, it's a federal issue," and it's really a shame, really.
And I would say, Mr. Chair, remember the pay issues that occurred after the long deployment.
At okay, 20 months.
Deployment. Yeah, yep. In my unit calls it the long deployment, but
they were brought back one day short.
Yeah, one day short of it. And they had to wait for pay for years. I mean, a lot of these kids were waiting to buy a house, you know, or waiting to get married. And it was unacceptable how long it took for Congress to fix that. And I think it was just last year, maybe 2 years ago, that they finally fixed that. And I'm disgusted by it. The fact that these soldiers are going to have to go through the whole thing, I'm just a little upset about it. So I wanted to bring it up in committee. Thanks for giving me the time to do that, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lesh. And what I would like to do is maybe together a letter through the TAG, and let's let them send it back up to Congress on this very issue. So if you'd like to come in and help me put that together, I'd appreciate it.
I'd love to, Mr. Chair.
Being a lawyer, and yeah, that would help.
Yeah, I would just put this out there, Mr. Chair, that, you know, I appreciate the desire to go through the TAG on this, knowing the hesitancy of command, yeah, in this state. I mean, they're responding to people that are going to say to them, well, is your priority the mission, or is your priority, you know, these benefits? And I feel like it puts command sort of in a bad position of having them to be the point person. Obviously they're going to do it, but I feel like because this is a political issue, I feel like it should be driven by,
well, Representative Lesh, I'll amend my statement then. I'll circumvene the command. I'm used to going through the chain of command, you know,
right.
But I guess we'll go our route. Okay. So I appreciate it. Yeah. Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just following up on that then, this would be something you would bring back and chair for all who desire to sign on.
Representative Purcell, what we'll do, we'll bring the letter to everybody and let you sign
on
to it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, Representative Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to follow up on this with Representative Lesh, how does this differ for active duty people that are deployed for tours for a year to 3 years? As far as I know, they don't get any breaks on state taxes or anything else.
Representative Lesh? Mr. Chair, and the only problem with this is that the law that has expired that the 204th was subject to was only National Guard Bureau. So it would not impact any active duty folks. This is a glitch that had sunsetted, that wasn't renewed in the federal legislation, which is why. And I need to find out a lot more about it, but I haven't heard of anyone talking about, you know, National Guard soldiers getting benefits that, say, active duty wouldn't.
And follow up, Mr. Chair, if it is some sort of release from state taxes, I can see where we in the legislature could do that for the Guard, you know, to give them relief from state tax, not federal tax, but state tax. And but I just know that unless active duty are deployed to a hostile fire zone, they don't really get any benefits. It's considered part of the job.
Well, Representative Newton, just I know
yes.
Right now they're not taxed on their military income, the state tax, if you're in the Guard or active component.
Well,
If your home of record is Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
You are not taxed on your Title 32 pay?
The drill?
Correct. Drill pay or
AT
pay or anything, but these will be Title 10 orders that they deploy on,
yeah.
So they would potentially. I need to find out more about that. But I would note this, too, Mr. Chair, there are people getting mortared. There are U.S. soldiers getting mortared in the Sinai right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I will guarantee you there is no way that command will suggest that now it's a hostile fire zone because the politics behind, well, this is a demilitarized Sinai after the Camp David Peace Accords, the suggestion that the treaty is not working is not going to be something anyone's going to want to admit. Just the irony of it. But you're right. We could potentially solve that from the state level on taxes.
Right. And then the that 20-month deployment back, I think it was 2008, if I recall, that I know I spent some time on the Hill in Washington, D.C., bringing it to their attention. They did solve it. They did eventually solve it. So I guess pressure has to come from the state also. So with anything else, any other questions? Yes, Representative Pugh.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Lesh, as I was listening to all of this, I couldn't help but think, I wonder if we as a legislature could initiate a resolution to Congress from both houses specific to Minnesota and the situation that the federal government will have created here, which would send an official message, a call to action, that this really needs to be addressed and just be an official something to our congressman to address this. So it's just a thought, and I don't know if that applies.
Representative Lesh.
I think that's a great idea. I'd be happy to work with the chair on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Representative Lesh. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lesh, you had mentioned active duty. You mentioned specifically National Guard. Where does reservists fit in that? Are they going to fall under the active duty because of reservists if they get called out from their branch, or how does that work?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Reservists are still Title 10 because they're federally paid. So active duty and reservists are both Title 10. National Guard Bureau are all Title 32, which is where we're running into the problem because it's National Guard Bureau.
Okay. O'Driscoll?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure you weren't forgetting some folks who can't be deployed or called up to active duty in this, and I know that those are the three primary headings, active, reserve, and then National Guard, so I didn't want to miss anybody in our efforts and our endeavors here today.
And just the last thing, again, October 4th through the 8th, Minnesota be the site for the Hall of Fame convention. And also there's an educational component of that. Right now there's about 60 schools that are signed up for a character yeah. development program. So that's going on in the next few weeks. And also there's I met with the CAP board regarding the Medal of Honor memorial that's going to be, if you know where the old Fountain is, that's where the memorial is going to be. And they've selected three different companies to give bids on that. So that's in the process. I guess that should be done sometime in August, and they do expect to have a groundbreaking or ceremony that day before the Medal of Honor convention begins. So that's kind of where it's at. So with that, this meeting is adjourned.